Dave Moore on Today FM.
Oh, knowing Marie isn't even here for me to make her feel uncomfortable with me playing the guitar.
If you both start doing it now, this will make... Ah, no, lads. No.
What you want on the bass?
Just a nice E. Give us a ring out there, an E.
I'm getting a guitar.
Give me what is E?
Just open. Bottom string open. Yeah. Give me some rhythm there. And here comes Emer now. Emer's on the acoustic guitar, which unfortunately for Emer is tuned slightly lower than E because the... Oh, she fell.
Jeez, she only went...
Perfect. We're so good. Give us a note there, Emer. Beautiful.
Yeah, great.
Get closer to the microphone.
Strummed the guitar.
I don't know how to play guitar. Where do I, my hands are too small to play guitar.
There's no such thing. I've seen children play incredible guitar.
Yeah, I know, but I...
Just push real hard down on any... But on one string, like on one note. Like this.
I should point out that this guitar is also missing a string.
It is. Go like... Well, there you go.
Yeah, okay. Keep it going, guys. It's working really well for the podcast. I think everyone's really happy.
Loving it.
Oh, now there's a button.
Turn mine down.
So a couple of years ago, I remember my friend was learning how to play guitar very briefly. She's trying to do it to impress boys. And we were in the queue for H&M. I feel like I'm performing a show because I'm just strumming the guitar as I'm talking. And I was like, Jesus, what happened to your hand? She's like, oh, you know. And they were callous. Was like, she turned around and she was like, oh, you know, just playing that guitar is like you're learning like an hour a day, if even. An hour a week. If even. She doesn't play guitar anymore.
Why? She not get boys?
She did. She got enough, got plenty of boys, and the boys took over, yeah. Don't have to worry about getting boys anymore. Actually, more importantly than this, we've put the guitars down for a second. There's a bit of internal issues here in Marconi House that I feel like I can raise in this safe space.
Issues. Like what?
On air.
No. There's only today in the office, but a single floor with bathrooms. And there was a queue.
What?
I had a queue to wee in my own office.
Oh, and everyone knows you need to go to the toilet then.
Hang on.
I hate going to the toilet when I know Dave has just gone in or whatever. I have to go upstairs. Oh, I can't deal with other people in the bathroom with me.
What are you talking about? You work in an office.
I know, but I just can't. So what I'll think that usually the fifth floor is the quietest toilet. So I'll just go up there and I love it when the lights are off. You know, when you flick on the lights.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, no one's in here.
That is ridiculous.
I may as well confess this now. I don't know if I've told the story before, but when I worked weekends for a while, and there was one particular Sunday, like there was never anyone in here on a Sunday. And there's one Sunday I was going to a festival after work. Mm-hmm. So I was getting changed and I was up in the fifth floor toilet on a Sunday. Like, bear in mind, the fifth floor in Marconi House is usually just reserved for, now it's podcasting, but at the time it was just for like sales. Marketing.
So
no,
then the weekend empty.
Ghost town. So I went up there, I was like, just in case someone comes into the fourth floor. And I was getting changed in the bathroom. And was I tight? Knicker tight? No short? I was definitely pantless.
Pantless, yeah.
In the main body of the bathroom.
Oh, you didn't choose the disabled bathroom.
Okay,
because it was going
to
be empty.
Makeup was a whole thing. Yeah. And then someone walked in who had never usually been in on a Sunday. And I still to this day don't know why they're there. And I'm just standing there, my knickers basically.
Did you know the person?
Not well enough to make a joke of it. We just never spoke of it again.
Oh, but you've seen them since.
Like numerous times. But I just I know, but like, what were they doing in the fifth floor bathroom on a Sunday?
Can I tell you both? You are amateurs. You're absolute amateurs. If you want solitary bathroom trips, you need to get on your bike and get down the stairs. Because up to fifth is fine. There's a lot of people work on the fifth. We're on the fourth, three radio stations, management, busy. Third floor, two radio stations and a newsroom, busy. What's on the second floor of this building? What's on the first floor of this building? Nothing!
Have you been in those houses?
All the time!
Stop the lights.
So what I do...
No, the second floor is occupied these
Sorry,
days.
Second floor is occupied. What I do is I might go out, I might finish work here and go, okay, see you guys, thanks a million, and then go. I might go into town, I might get lunch, I might meet someone, and then I'll be strolling back to the car, which is parked in a different car park, but like 200 yards away. From the office, and I go, I had a big cup of tea there with my friend. I'm definitely going to need to wee before I get home.
Yeah, gotcha.
And I don't want to be doing the drive home.
Anyone who doesn't go to the bathroom before going home is a sociopath.
Okay, so I will just walk into reception. I'll say hello to whoever the security guard is downstairs. And I'll walk up the three little steps behind the lifts and into that bathroom.
What?
And I have come in there on a Saturday, Thursday night. Not once have I ever seen another person. And I know for a fact that there's no one been in there because, for example, there will be sometimes they leave chewing gums, packs of chewing gums and like deodorant in the bathrooms. Like I might take a chewing gum and go back like 3 weeks later, same amount of chewing gums.
Stop the lights. They're serviced. I assumed they weren't serviced. I was afraid a rat was going to come up and bite me in the arse.
And you know what else? You know what the best thing about it is? Because it's the water tank is on the roof. When you get down to the first floor, the water pressure would clean COVID off your hands from 50 yards.
I'm like, the minute we're done here, honestly, I'm popping down to the first floor.
This is the only
way. There is people there, is there though?
No,
not
second
the first floor.
Second
floor, yes, not the first floor.
Really?
So it's wide open. It's quiet season.
Oh,
so Carl, if you need some solitary toilet time.
Yeah.
That's a trick.
It's worth
every second.
It is probably. Yeah.
No awkward chats. I met two news talk presenters trying to go to the loo, and then I opened the door and there was no man's queuing.
So where is this happening? Are we not able to go to the toilet now?
Can't go on five, and I don't know what's going on with three, but I met two presenters from news talk come up the stairs or going into our toilets.
One.
And one of them was wearing really hideous shoes.
Say nothing.
Listeners, say nothing.
Yeah.
Lads, hi, welcome to the podcast. We probably should say that that's what this is. It's Dave Moore Podcast. I'm Dave Moore. That's Colin Minogue. That's Emer Shannon. Maria Devereaux is not here right now, but we had an amazing chats with lots of celebrities, but two that stood out to me, and particularly when we got down to the last question I like to ask my celebrity guests, which is about leg washing. Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol and Catherine Hahn from Agatha All Along on Disney Plus, plus loads of other things. Listen to their answers about leg washing. And the final question I ask all my guests, Gary, because I don't, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Never. I've never been asked that question.
I know, and I never know if that's a badge of honor or if I'm an absolute weirdo.
I'm sweating, going, am I going to answer this wrong? I just don't know. But yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe it's from playing football for a long time.
A lot of active people talk about the fact that, yeah, of course they do because they are doing sweaty things. I'm just so lazy, I just never let it happen. Anyway, it's fine. You are a massive crack, Catherine, so I'll ask you one quick question that I ask all my guests. It's my last question I ask everybody, which is, hey, Catherine Hahn, do you wash your legs in the shower?
Yes, I do always.
Why?
We used to call these knee pits. Sometimes they get as nasty as the armpit.
Okay, that's news
to me.
You
gotta get in there. Right. Talk about a massive crack.
So there you go. Gary was nervous. He didn't want to answer that question wrong. He didn't want to follow him around like a bad stink from not washing his legs. Yeah.
He was just thinking of the newspaper headlines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gary
Lightbody is light on body washing.
Hey! She should work for a tabloid. Sure. We also talked to a world champion. I get lots of different sporting stars on my show. People who have, you know, trained for years to win Olympic golds.
Fintan McCarthy.
Fintan.
Recently.
The fitness level of Fintan McCarthy is... To be a rower, you know that's pretty much the fittest you need to be. Mm. Maybe a Tour de France cyclist is the only other thing I think that's fitter than a rower. What about a lad who rocks up to an outer Hebridean island, picks a stone up off a beach and chucks it across a lake? Yes, the world stone skimming champion Simon came on for a chat. Hopefully I won't offend our next guest because he is a champion, our most recent champion. We've had an amazing year of Irish glory, from Oscar wins to Olympic golds. And it doesn't stop there. Over the weekend, Simon Power from Tipperary became Ireland's first ever world stone skimming champion. Hello, Simon.
Hey, Dave. How are things?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. So you're putting me up there with Cillian Murphy. And
I think at least up there, the very least. So come here.
You can play me in a movie someday.
Yeah, the life story of Simon Power, the Irish world stone skimming champion. Look, what I love about this, Simon, is that stone skimming is something that everybody has had a go of. That everybody has gone, oh, did you see that? I got three. And even like I know my kids, like anytime we're near any body of water, we live down with the beach, like they just have to throw things in it. If they find a flat stone, they're chucking it in. So this is great that everyone has had a go of it. However, you are now the world champion. So how do you elevate it from I once threw a stone in a lake to what you're doing now?
I don't know. I have no idea. I suppose as you're a kid and you're doing it, you just get better and better at it. And it's like you said, you pass the body of water. I have to pick up the stone. I have to throw it and I have to try and skim it.
Okay, but
I've almost done.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Like, there must have been a point where you realized you were better than the other kids or better than your dad or better than whoever it was you were chucking with.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we were in France hiking and we'd stopped at a lake and I was skimming a stone trying to hit the other side of the lake. And there was hundreds of hikers there and everything was quiet. And I eventually, after 45 minutes, got it to the other side of the lake and there was a cheer. And I was like, people have been watching me for 45 minutes and I just had no idea. And I was like, okay, I must be good at it.
Wow. And so, because I've seen some videos of stone skimming, competitive stone skimming, and the distances you guys cover are actually terrifying. Like, how far can you skim a stone? Like, how far was that lake, or how far was the one you did at the weekend?
The competition wall, I think, is about 65 meters. So weather depending, people generally hit the wall on some of their attempts, and if you hit the back wall, you're into the final.
Right.
I hit that on my last stone.
Okay, so
one stone left, and I hit the back wall.
Oh, good man, jeez. So let's set the picture then. So you're on, is it a lake? Is it always a lake, as in a still body of water?
Yeah, it's a quarry kind of, and it's
quarry,
it's
right.
Almost like a swimming pool, like, you know.
Gotcha.
It's set, a rectangular shape, 65 meters in length. And
okay,
you
so you
keep it within the barriers.
So you stand on one side where you're kind of at the water's level, I presume.
Yeah, and just on a kind of a rock.
On a rock, right? And then you fling your stone, skim your stone, whatever it is. And as you said, it has to presumably go in kind of, relatively speaking, a straight line. You can't go out of bounds, can you?
No, you can't go out of bounds. I don't know, is it about 10 metres, kind of like that? And you have to keep it inside.
And then you want to try and hit that wall on the far side. That will qualify you.
Yeah.
Right.
There's about 1,100 people there watching. I think that's the...
That's so incredible.
On the island.
Where was this?
It's in Easdale in Scotland.
Oh, so in the Hebrides.
When you make your way up. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, great. Like, they raise money for the island the whole day. It's like one of the best days. One of the best things you can ever do as a spectator, just to go to Easdale and watch it.
Yeah, I say so.
Cracking day.
And so on your last, so you have a certain amount of throws in a kind of a qualifying round, is that right?
Yeah, three throws. So I was number 247 out of 360. So you're waiting around kind of to take your shot.
Yeah.
Three attempts and, you know.
And do you get your three in a row, or do you do one and then go back to the back of the queue? Three in a row.
Yeah. Three
so your first two didn't go as well as the final one.
No. First one was bad. Second one, I just kind of took it easy and I got close to the wall and I said, right, I just have to give her holly and try and hit the wall this time now.
Well,
I just hit the wall and the crowd erupts. Like, when you hit the wall, the crowd goes nuts.
I say so.
You have an idea.
Okay, so 1,100 people are stomping and cheering when you hit the wall. But then what's the final? What happens then? How do you win the thing?
There was 15 people in the final and you get three shots again, but it's done on distance this time. So they add up your three throws and that's your distance then, so you have to really make sure it doesn't go out of bounds and just get three kind of solid shots.
I see. So what was your distance in the end?
I'm not sure, over 100 meters, maybe 130.
Wow.
The results, but I actually tied with another person in the final, a young chap, probably 16-17 maybe. Two of us got the same distance, so there was like a final throw.
Oh, this was, and this kid's name is Fred Savage, which
Fred, yeah,
we all know as an actor from the 90s. But okay, so and you, so then it was like, is it true that it's called the Skim of Destiny?
Yeah, I don't think it's happened before.
Right.
This is the first time ever. So I thought, like the Olympics with the high jumpers, we'll both get first place.
Yeah,
and, oh, we can ride off into the sunset. But they said no, one stone each. You have to throw, and that's it. So I had to go first and I threw it and quite a poor throw, but so sad for Fred. He threw it and it just curled out of bounds.
Oh, but then you just had to keep it straight, keep it true.
Keep it straight, yeah. So
and then you're the winner.
I had no intentions of winning at all. It was just to go and take part.
Well, you are now the world stone skimming champion and we are very proud of you. Some questions that I wanted to ask you, my listeners are texting in, they want to ask you these questions. Thomas wants to know, are all stones the same or do you bring your own stones?
No, you have to use the stones from the island and they can be no larger than 3 inches in diameter. So they will test them on the day. So it can be as heavy as you want, just has to fit through a little hoop before you throw the stone.
Right. Okay. Sorry, do you have to then go to the island and select a stone from like a selection of stones or just on the beach or what?
yeah, you're going around the coast kind of, and you're looking for stones yourself. So we're there at 10 o'clock in the morning, like, and we were practicing, and I was meeting people from all around the world, and we were looking at stones together. Like, you just meet so many like-minded people that like throwing stones.
Okay, but what would happen if you and another competitor both saw the perfect stone, and you reach down and you both like grab it at the same time? Are you prepared to, you know, battle someone for it?
So you
find your own stones on the island. That's okay. You're not fighting anybody yet. Although Jeffrey has a lovely question for you. He says, Simon, it's all in the movies. It's always the teenager with a broken heart who's skimming stones. Do you, Simon, channel your inner heartbreak during a competition?
No, I had the love of my life with me all day.
Good to hear. Absolutely brilliant.
My support.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Well, look, it's just an honour to speak to the world stone skimming champion. But what I want to know, and I'm sure all my listeners want to know, is what's the secret? Because, like, I want to go to a lake now and I want to impress my kids who, let's face it, are utterly unimpressed by anything I do. But if I could skim a stone, even, like, to get it to skim, like, five times, they think I was cool. So what's the crack here? How do we do it?
Probably a circular stone with a bit of weight and no bumps or lumps or cracks, and it has to be smooth, and it might look like a flat cookie kind of, like, even all the way around. And there has to be just maybe somewhere where your index finger has a grip, because when you release the stone, when you throw it, you want it to come out at a slight angle, not completely flat.
Right.
And you want to put as much spin on the stone as you can.
Oh.
So you want it spinning as fast as you can.
You want the stone to spin. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and that keeps you kind of bouncing along the top of the water. So if you spin it as fast as you can and just throw it as hard as you can, you should get plenty of skips, a lot more than just a regular normal throw.
Sorry, is there a competition where you just count the number of skips? Is that even possible? Because sometimes they go like skips, grrr, like they do a million.
I think some of the American competitions and stuff like that, they count the number of skips, but in Scotland and Easdale, they don't do that.
Just a distance. Well, look, we are massively proud of you as a nation, Simon Power, our latest world champion in stone skimming. It is honestly brilliant to talk to you. Amazing insight into this as well. Thanks a million for taking the time, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, all the best, Simon. Have a great day. See you later.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Oh, unbelievable. Like, that's the kind of world championship I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind this, like, sacrifice and dedication and all those things. You want to just kind of rock up and go, can I throw a stone?
Yeah,
no bother. Cool, I'm the champion.
I want to be involved in something that I could easily, like, be, say, for example, in a pub the night before and then go and do the thing and still maybe win.
Yes.
I don't want to have to sacrifice my social life for anything.
Perfect. This is for you, I think.
Stones I turned 18.
The whole thing of spinning and getting a good spin on it, like, I'm going to definitely take that to the lakes.
Oh, see, I'm going to the beach later on. As soon as I leave this, I'm going home.
I don't think I've ever
It wouldn't work at the beach, though, would it?
Of course it works on the beach.
The waves are coming against
it,
though.
It depends. I'm not going to go down if it's stormy, but, like, it's a calm day. Yeah. The water be like glass.
You're one of those kind of people now, I'd say, you know, when all of you truck down to Killarney or wherever and you're like walking around Muckross and then you know, you go all to see the stones. I'd say, you, Andrew, Sam, kids, watch this. This is how you do it.
Absolutely.
And then Andrew comes along and he gets it like 100 metres.
Here's the thing, right? I have now gotten to a point, well, pretty much, no, I'm getting to a point where my eldest is about to be stronger than I am, right? Like, I'm not a weak man, I'm not a small man. No, I don't mean like physically wrestling, I'll just sit in him, he'd die. But I'm talking about, like, say, for example, throwing stones.
Right, yeah.
Like, throwing stones. I can throw a stone further than my wife and further than the kids. Kicking a ball.
Yeah.
I cannot kick a ball further than my 14 or my 12-year-old, for that matter.
Oh, lads, I had the most embarrassing incident on Saturday. I was out walking and there was a kid, little girl, and her little sister, and they were playing and they had a Peppa Pig ball.
Yes.
And it flew in front of me and I did the thing. I was like, that's my worst nightmare. When I'm out walking, my worst nightmare is that a ball is going to land in front of me. I just, for two reasons. Firstly, there's a 95% chance it's going to mill me in the face because it's happened more than once. And also, I just, the pressure of trying
returning it.
Like, if it's boys, I won't. But I figured, this is a young girl.
Little girl, Peppa Pig ball.
Peppa Pig ball, how hard can it be? I kicked it back to her and shot the opposite direction. And I was like, I'm really sorry. And the child's like, it's okay.
You made it worse.
Oh, I made it so much worse.
Oh, God.
What is in those Peppa Pig? Like,
they're just very light.
They're too light.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah. It reminds me of that opening scene of the opening series of The Inbetweeners, which I will just leave it at that and just go and have a look at them in the park. That's all I need to know. But yes, I'm slowly now, Cahill, becoming less. Like, I don't know if I could throw a stone further than my 14-year-old. Do you know the way? Like, so you lose that kind of, there was a bit where like, you're always the big, the dad, the protector, the winner, the champion, the you can't run. Like I was a sprinter. So I'm still a fast runner, even though I may not look at her. I've never ran in a long time. It's like when I did the cartwheel upstairs. Like, I think I would surprise people with how fast I am.
I think we need to possibly put
over a 30 meter dash. But my young fella now is starting to say things like, right, let's go for a 50 meter race. And I'm like, 50 meters is going to be a bit too long now.
Five.
30, yeah, maybe 30.
Pull a hammy.
Well, I wouldn't have the endurance.
Pull a hearty, I was.
Pull a hearty, yes, now you're talking. Right, listen, the other thing I must tell you about is the fact that we lost James Earl Jones. And of course, a sad thing, and a man whose voice was absolutely iconic. But it got us talking about your favourite voices until somebody came on and said, you know what? I've got the most hated voice in Ireland. Well, what if you were a voice that people loved or hated? Brendan's in Leaks Club this morning. How are you, Brendan?
How are you, Dave? How are you?
I'm good. So come here. Are you a voice actor?
Yes. Voice actor and voiceover, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. More voice acting these days.
Okay. So would we know you from anything in particular?
Yeah, you would have heard me plenty of times on the radio, and I worked doing promos for a particular television station here as well, and yeah, I've done. I mean, I'm doing it for 24 years or something at this stage.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can tell you've got an amazing voice, Brendan. I would listen to you say anything. No, honestly,
I've heard you do a couple as well. Thanks.
Yeah, I've done a couple. It's funny. I think the more kind of recognizable you get, the less work you get, which is kind of, unless you get one of those big gigs, and then like, you know, we're all waiting for one of them. But
you can't be the voice of one very well-known thing and then try and be something that conflicts with that, so that people do know you. But it's a different landscape these days, commercially as well. Anyway.
That's very true. But listen, if any of the companies, the big ones, are listening, they want to give me a job, I am absolutely available for work. But Brendan,
me too.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, and power, Brendan from Leaks Club. But tell me this: you were the voice of something that people may not have been so enamored with.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I have the right to claim to be one of the most hated men in Ireland through no real fault of my own. I spent, I think it was 13 years from 2010. Actually, my voice is still on it because it's impossible to get rid of it completely.
But right.
I think they replaced me with someone else. But I was the customer care voice for Air.
The automated one.
At least once a month, I'd get a text from someone who I haven't spoken to in a while, who would text me and say, I've been waiting on here for like 45 minutes and my broadband's like, and I realize it's you.
So,
about 2 years ago, it was hilarious. Primetime on RTE did a segment on customer care with this particular company. And they showed the presenter beside the phone saying, I've now been waiting for 52 minutes. And then my voice came out of the phone going, your call is important to us. And I was just cracking up. Plus, the other thing is that at every few weeks, it happens to me that I'm trying to get through to someone on the phone and my voice comes up.
Oh, you're joking.
This person is not available. It's all very meta.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's people all around the country getting PTSD now, realizing that the voice that's been keeping them on hold for 52 minutes is actually a real person. And he's nice. Listen to him.
Important to us, but we actually don't really care. So hang on a little while longer.
Oh, Brendan, it's absolutely brilliant to get a little peek behind the curtain of that, right? I did a similar thing for another phone company. I can't remember who it was now, actually. And again, same thing, like you said, every now and again, you just get a text message going, are you the, oh, it was Imagine Broadband. Are you the voice of Imagine Broadband? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that, I did that one afternoon ages ago, and all of a sudden, I'm still there years and years later, yeah.
That's the thing. They stay on. You know, your voice can be used for years and years. And like I say, it's impossible to almost get rid of it across all these various phone lines and that. I mean, the real pain in recording that initially was when you're telling people their bill and the automated service for that.
Yeah.
You have to do, I had to do the numbers 1 to 1,000 in 4 different ways.
Of course.
Median, rising, and end. So you got 1, 1, 1.
Oh, God.
Move your mind after.
Yes, I can absolutely imagine. Oh, listen, that's been brilliant, Brendan. Thanks so much for sharing all that. And no fair play to you for, listen, for keeping us on hold. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Your call is not important today.
I mean, his voice was brilliant, but I get it. If you're the air voice, then people are definitely angry with you all of the time. You're just constantly telling them that their call is important to you, but they're still on hold.
Yeah, it's an awkward one, isn't it? Like, if that's the gig you get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're happy to have the job, but at what cost?
Yeah, you've got to decide. Is it worth it? Is it worth the moolah? Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. Right, thanks very much for listening to the podcast. We'll play it out. Emer's going to do a guitar solo over the bassline the Cahill will provide now.
So this is the point when we all agree that you're going to just dub in like Jimi Hendrix.
No.
Go. Maybe I was doing wrong. Should I play it this way from right hand?
You're Jimi Hendrix now. No, you're absolutely wrong, but this is perfect. Like, okay.
I'll count us in.
I'm doing my own thing. I'm an innovator.
3, 2, 1, and go.
I'm not even holding the strings because I know what I'm doing. And also, it really hurts your hands. Because I don't have a plaque, that's the problem.
Big E, Big E, Big E.
And now I'm going to the first part.
See y'all next time, guys.
Dave Moore on Today FM.